1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Got Harvey Wehrman on the line. Harvey, where are you at? Harvey, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm right here, Phil. How are you doing?
Good. Where are you at?
I'm over where I'm at. I'm at the Cadillac dealership. They got to replace the whole bottom end of this thing.
Just what happened?
Well, they don't ever, they don't tell you there's a parking brick in front of your car. You park it, and I took off, and there was a parking brick, and I ripped the whole oil pan and almost pulled the axle off. I'm telling you, I'm an attorney, and I ought to, for being an attorney, I sure don't sue people enough, because the Jack Ball J-A-S-S, or J-A-C-K-A-S-S, that put the parking brick there, and then I drive over it and rip the ass end of my car out. And
why would you spell A-S-S and then just say the word?
I'll tell you why, because I am angry at the fact that I got the whole butt end of my car torn off by a sack of dung that put a parking brick in front of my car.
Well, what do you think, they put it there while you were parked? I mean, it's there.
What is?
The parking brick, man, that keeps your car from rolling forward. Do you think they put it there while you were in the store?
Boy, you really don't know your law, do you, mister? The
what law, man?
I'm just telling you that I hit the gas because I knew I wanted to get home and TiVo a movie called Gacy about John Wayne Gacy. I'm interested in the case. So I got out of the store. I had a bag of apples and some cheese. And I said, oh, Jesus H, I've got to go home and TiVo Gacy. So I floored it. And as I floored at the parking brick, which, yes, they put there after I went in the store. So what do you think of that? Rips the whole horse's ass end of my Cadillac. My Cadillac.
Well, I can tell you, man, they don't put the parking... You know.
Well, what do you know about where they put and why a parking brick is placed?
Because I'm pretty sure they put them there when they first make the parking lot, and then they're always there. So anyway, you called up about Mothers Against Illegal Aliens?
Yeah, I just turned the TV on tonight and I saw Mothers Against Illegal Aliens. Have you heard about that?
I think I've heard about them, yeah.
You know what drives me ape is put the word mother in front of anything and suddenly it becomes, oh well, I can't criticize it. See where I'm going with this? You understand what I mean?
Like what?
Well, Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Mothers Against Drunk Driving was started by a woman whose kid was killed.
By what? The kid was killed how?
By a drunk driver.
All right. So in other words, it pertains.
Yes. Why would she?
Well, don't yell at me. I'm just telling you.
Do you think the drunk driving was something to be admired?
It wasn't a big deal until the mothers got a hold of it. Now all of a sudden, a guy can't have two pops. I can't go down and ask for a guy to let me stomp a few brain cells and maybe drive my car 300 yards to get to my house. And if I take out a trash can, so what? But put the name mother in front of it, and all of a sudden, I'm a degenerate. I'm the guy that kidnapped Lindbergh's baby. I'm the guy that did Sharon Tate because I had a couple of pops, all right, stomped a few brain cells, took out a guy's trash can, and now she wants to put me in jail.
Look, if drunk driving kills people.
Drunk driving, Phil. We don't know what drunk driving did, and we'll never know what it did. Mothers Against Drunk Driving have made it just... I'm not saying drunk driving's good, but when you say mothers are against it, now you can't even say... Now a man can't stand up and say, well, wait a minute, is drunk driving all that bad?
And you mean you would, huh?
What?
You'd stand up and say, drunk driving, it's not so bad, but I can't say anything about it because it's mothers.
That's right. It's like the same thing with this illegal alien thing. How do I know whether it's right or wrong? But now they got an organization, Mothers Against Illegal Alien. Now I can't say diddly squat. Now I can't say jack squat because there's a woman there with way too much time on her hands. And by the way, some of these,
You're eating too much cheese, man.
Who?
You.
Why?
Because the cheese blocks you up, and...
That's why I got the apples, genius. Don't you love a guy like this?
Oh, I see. It loosens you. So, in other words, you eat the cheese to block up, and...
No, I eat the cheese because I like it. Hey, Phil, Why don't you start an organization called Mothers Against Cheese? That way it'll turn, if you eat cheese, then you're a member of the Nazi party. You see?
So your point is that once mothers get a hold of any issue, they make what could have been something completely innocuous into an evil.
You got it. Bingo. Give the man a big, fat, thick cigar. That's exactly right.
And drunk driving could have been...
No, I'm not saying drunk driving was good. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying we'll never know.
We'll never know, dude, if you're drunk and you're driving and...
Yeah, haven't you ever been drunk and you got home okay?
I'm not commenting.
Why, you loser. You know,
why don't you comment? Have you been drunk and you got home safely?
Just about every Friday night. What do you think of that, huh? You got a big snappy comeback for that? The point I'm trying to make, Phil, is when these mothers put their name in front of something, we'll never know the truth about that thing. It might be good, it might be bad, but once they get a hold of it, everyone is now sentimentalized into the point of dumb. Our brains are paralyzed by mothers. They do more to paralyze the thinking of people than any other single group of individuals. I'll give you another example. Ain't they got a, what's it called, Mothers Against, there's got to be a Mothers Against something that is good, you know? I know, Mothers Against Strippers. Have they got that yet? Yeah, you laugh.
No, man, they don't have it yet.
Well, they will. And when they do, kiss goodbye what you've been doing every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night for the last 6 years of your life.
Yeah, bull crap. Tell you what, man, when's your caddy going to be done?
I have no idea. I brought it in here, and hey, Eric, when's it going to be done?
I just pulled a whole bottom end out of the thing. This is where I'm going to tell you about it.
Don't give me a song and dance. When is it done?
Well, I'll bring it up. Well, I'll give you a loaner.
You can give me a loaner. Want to give me a loaner. Hold on for a minute, Phil.
Uh-huh.
Give me a loaner. I don't want one that's got the name of your crap can business written across the back of it like I'm advertising. Do you understand?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
You did what?
I
don't care where you... Just get me a loaner. No, I don't want to go to Enterprise. Get me a loaner off the lot here. Yeah, that little one. I'll take that.
Are you done?
Hold on for a minute. What? Thank God you guys are open 24 hours, too. Okay, Phil.
All right, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. Okay, just remember, Mothers Against Strippers and Mothers Against Masturbation. That's...
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Wait a minute. Don't you...
Yes, yeah, something that's long held in great high esteem. Mothers are against it? What? They do have a group called Mothers Against Illegal Aliens. That's kind of a wild name, isn't it? Mothers Against Illegal Aliens. So others, illegal aliens are a threat to mothers and whatever mothers are interested in? That means kids. So you're basically saying illegal aliens are a threat to kids now? Is this what you're telling me? Do you know that I trust my wife? I said this. When I was building, you know, we first moved to our house and we put a pool in. Every day in my backyard were Mexican men or Hispanic men, but I'm pretty sure they were there, shall we say, in a quasi-legal fashion. They were cement finishers, they were rod busters, they were carpenters, they were driving tractors, they were doing it all. And I felt better about having those guys in my backyard than I did if it was like four regular old gringo Americans. I don't mean any offense, but I just did. Because I'd be going to work, my wife's home alone. Because they were respectful, nice, hardworking guys. Should they be in this country illegally? No. Mothers against them? What, were they like a threat to your kid? Nah, I don't think so.
You done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Because we got to get through this, but every time you do a party.
Yeah, I'm done. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We got a flashback for you, and we'll talk about Sopranos. If you saw Sopranos last night, well, then you know what I'm going to be talking about. Those of you who don't watch the show, it's very interesting. A little plot twist last evening. One of the Soprano family members, one of the wise guys, one of the members of the mafia, one of the crime guys, is gay. And that's fine, because he kept it hidden until last night, when he was seen in a leather bar of some kind, an S&M bar, by other wise guys. So anyway, we'll talk about that or what have you. Right now, I have this flashback from Lou, And he says, Phil, by far my all-time favorite bit has to be Art Griego saying that Thanksgiving should only be celebrated by white people. I laugh just thinking about it. Thanks, Phil. Was that Griego? Or was it, is it the one where he says, can't we have just one day to ourselves? I think it's Larry Grover. I could be wrong. Let's listen now. Thanksgiving. Just one day the white folks can have to themselves.
I just have a comment for the gentleman that you have on the phone right now.
Yes, Mr. Griego?
This is Art Griego, yes.
I am biracial, which means that I am half black and half white. Okay.
Well, that means black.
I'm also mixed with other nationalities. If you are in America, you are American, which means that Thanksgiving is for anybody. It means you're giving thanks
for
that day.
For what?
Not thanks because you're white.
Wait a minute.
Because being white does not make you special.
What is
it? Does
no?
not make you
I didn't
any
say
better
it did.
Than
I didn't,
anybody else.
I didn't say it did.
It doesn't mean that you should have a
but
day.
What have you
yourself.
Got to be thankful for?
I have a lot to be thankful for.
You're black.
First of all, I get up every morning and I breathe. Okay?
Big
That's
deal.
One thing to be thankful for.
Big deal. You need a day for that? You celebrate that? I'm talking about...
I get that every day. I don't need a day for that. I get that every
right.
day.
Right. So what do you need Thanksgiving
you are,
for?
Let me tell you. You are what's called a hidden racist.
Oh,
okay?
You brother. See, I knew it had come
you
down to that.
You use excuses to hide your racism.
Right.
And if I was your daughter, I wouldn't even want to have Thanksgiving with you.
Well, my wife says grace.
That's, I wouldn't right. even celebrate nothing because
right,
you're not
on.
Worth it.
All right, now hold on. All right, your daughter, your son-in-law, is black.
Well, look, what I'm trying to say and what this lady I don't think heard, if you're black in America, what have you got to be thankful for, right? Now, if you want to be thankful that you breathe, you can do that every day, as the lady indicated. I'm not a racist. I'm just saying Thanksgiving's basically for white people.
It's
Christmas
not
is for
white
black people.
People
and,
I don't see
and Easter...
anywhere in any history book that says Thanksgiving is dedicated to white people.
Well, you know it is.
It's
you know that it
Thanksgiving.
Is.
Thanksgiving. It's not thankful for white people.
Can I ask you something?
It's called Thanksgiving, period.
Can I ask you one thing?
Sure.
All right. Can't white people have one day where
well,
we don't have you people
day.
Around?
Let me tell you something. White people had about 100 years of one day when you all sat up getting enslaved black folks.
How
white
come?
People had a whole bunch of times.
Yeah, but why do
y'all
I got to
sit up getting enslaved Jews? Y'all had your day a long time ago.
Well, how come I got to
okay?
sit down and break bread with you people? All I want to...
Well, see, now there you
oh,
go.
You people.
Why do you think no one eats dark meat?
You're not racist.
Wait a
that
second.
That's not the most racist comment
Absolutely.
I have ever heard.
No, I'm
you
trying
people.
To say... See, you won't let me say what I'm trying to say. Can
no,
I
what
have... What I'm saying is...
It's stupid.
Can I just have one day where it's just white
you
people?
You don't need one day. You had your
See, that's what I'm saying. You guys want to butt in on everything.
For your one day.
Ma'am.
For your one of many days.
See, the lady is making a point, and the point is that the white man had dominance, and...
Well, wait a minute. I got... Back in 1955, we opened up a place called Disneyland. It took 2 weeks before the first black guy came in. What?
If you didn't want to have Thanksgiving, right?
Who's that?
If you don't want to have Thanksgiving
You see what I'm saying? You
Why
guys
did
can't.
You bring our asses over from Africa?
To
if
service.
You didn't want to have Thanksgiving with us. You should have kept us.
Well, wait a minute.
Car.
We did bring you over from Africa to serve us Thanksgiving dinner, not to sit
the
down and eat it with us.
Wait a minute. Good God. Art, you're right, sir. You're right, Al. It was Art Griego. You know, originally his point was, what if black folks have to be thankful for living in this country and the history of the anguish of African Americans in this country? Is that, you know... It's a good question. But then he takes it to, can't we have one day where we don't have you people around? We brought you over to serve it to us. Yes, that and other wonderful comedy sentiments will be on our Best of CD for 2006. By the way, our website is www.philhendryshow.com. www.philhendryshow.com. On any given night, at least one person, if not two, if not 10, if not 1,000, tune into this show, scratch their noggin and go, what is this? At least every night. So the rather than me explain the show to you, go to our website. That'll explain everything and more. You'll see the history of the show. You can read interesting news articles about the show. You can read interesting magazine articles about our show, interviews that I've done, television interviews I've done. You can see the pilots that I've produced for television. You can see examples of our current TV show that I'm on, Teachers on NBC. You can hear audio until it's coming out of your ears. We got more audio than any other radio show in the history of the planet Earth. And it's right there on our website. So you can figure the whole thing out. We got a show log. You can listen, you know, read the show log and know how the show's been going. And a lot of other little treats there on our website. So please bookmark that baby and repeatedly visit so you can clear up some of the confusion. It's www.philhenryshow.com. Show news on the 27th of May, the Phil Henry Show Celebrity My Friends Place Poker Tournament taking place at the Bicycle Club, and that's in Bell Gardens, California. All the money, some of the money that we raise will go to My Friends Place. There is a fee for the club. I don't keep any, but, you know, that's how those charity things go, man. You just have to be happy with your cut. So My Friend's Place, the Phil Henry Show, My Friend's Place Celebrity Poker Tournament, May 27th at the Bicycle Club in Bell Gardens. Visit their website, www.thebike.com, for more information. Now, last night on The Sopranos, if you follow the show, there's a gay member of the one of the crews, and I don't know who he works for. Who's that fat guy Vito work for? I think he works directly for... Shoot. Well, he works for Tony, but he's a captain. He has his own crew, so he's a captain. And in any event, last season we found out he was gay. How'd we find that out? Well, he popped his head up one day, and he was sitting in a truck with a guy. All you saw was the guy's head, and then we saw Vito's head pop up. He was actually going after Meadow's boyfriend for a while. But as it turns out, last night he was leaving to go, quote, make some collections. That's what he told his wife. And his wife, by the way, is not bad looking at all. And next thing you know, we're in a leather bar, one of these S&M, one of these clubs that the gay community keeps telling movie directors and TV directors, this is not a representation of our community. How come you guys always go into bars like this? And it was so, because it's colorful, that's why. Because you got a lot of guys in leather saying things, you know, guys that look like they could kick your ass and probably can, but they say things like, just another apple martini for now, yeah. Anyway, so they see the guy, so these two wise guys come in to collect money, and they turn around to leave, and there is Vito in a leather motorcycle hat with the whole thing, dancing with this dude. So he's been caught dead to rights by two members of the Soprano family, the New Jersey crime family. And we last see Vito in a motel with a gun and a bag, an overnight bag. He's left home. He's checked into a motel. Is he going to kill himself? That's the, that is the speculation among Soprano fans. Will this guy kill himself? The actor who plays this guy, Vito, is a guy named Joseph R. Ganascoli. And it was his idea to make this character gay. He told the directors and the writers, let's turn this guy into a gay guy. Let's turn this character into a gay guy. He was inspired by a real-life story of the Gambino family had a gay member who they didn't bother him about being gay because the guy apparently was really good at chopping up bodies. But in any event, this guy's smart. He says, I wanted to have the storyline change so that there's a way that I could have more lines in the show and that I would people would pay attention to me. And so far, it's allowed him to buy a house. He's now written a book. He's got a wife. He's got the whole thing going on. And a smart guy. He talked to these writers. He talked to the directors. So they made the character gay. He said, I saw him as a cross between Mike Tyson and Liberace. In self-denial, self-loathing, a real gay hater. So a lot of these people that hate, a lot of these men that hate gay people, I mean, they go down and beat them up. These guys are closet gays, see? Show me a guy that wants to go beat up gays, I'll show you closet fag. I said that with a mellifluous tone because I knew I was going to say the word F-A-G. And forgive me, but it's a way of communicating with those numbskulls who live in that colloquial world. Show me a guy that beats up gays, and I'll show you a closeted fag. All right, 1-800-449.
What, did you hiccup?
No, I was going to laugh, but then I thought maybe I shouldn't. So it sounded like a hiccup. I went, 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
Anyway, I was telling you about this Sopranos actor who is the gay member of Tony's family. He's a capo, a captain, the character he plays. But the actor himself, who I mentioned to you, is a gentleman by the name of Ganascoli. Did I say that right? Ganascoli. This Joseph Ganascoli, this guy got into acting because he was living in New York and he had a restaurant. And guess what the waiters do back there? They act. So he goes, he auditions for a play, and he actually gets the part, comes out to L.A., meets up with Christopher Walken's wife, Georgianne Walken. She's a casting director. He gets cast at The Sopranos, and life's a beautiful thing. All right, speaking of acting, tomorrow night our TV show Teachers is on. Speaking of acting, who cares about that? Speaking of TV shows, what I really should say. Our show Teachers is on tomorrow night, 9:30. Tomorrow night is a big night for this show, in my opinion. I have no information other than just my opinion. I've been sending stuff out to the other actors, you know, stuff I find on the web. And I might be bumming a few of them out because I sent out the ratings from last week. And then I did a little analysis of what I thought of the rating. And I get these emails back. People go, well, what do you think it means? Is it? I don't know. I'm just going to tell you what I think right now. First show, we had a nice number. Second show, we had a decent number. Could have been better, but probably couldn't have been better because we got the whole hour got its ass kicked by other networks. But we held, you know, first week we held 94%. Second week we held 86%. This show tomorrow night will tell the story. Whether NBC's going to get another order in on this thing or whether they tell us all to go pound sand down a rat hole. So at tomorrow night, 9:30, Teachers, baby. Following Scrubs on NBC. 9:30, starring me, Justin Bartha, Dionne Richmond, who I just saw him in a flick called Trippin'. That was a cool movie. I can't tell you what it was about because it was all black actors and I didn't understand much of what was being said. But it was colorful. Anyway, since tomorrow night, 9:30, me, Justin Bartha, Sarah Alexander, Dionne Richmond, Khalid Rocha, Matt Winston, Sarah Shahi, and Teachers, 9:30 NBC. Did I say 9:30 NBC? All right. And then I was going to tell a story about meeting Henry Gibson, but enough of Hollywood crap. Let's move on, baby. Let's move on to our email here on the Phil Hendry Show. And by the way, for those of you who write in and tell us how much you like the show, man, I really appreciate that. Please continue to do that. I don't read a lot of those on the air because I have a belief system that says reading a lot of what I call ass-licking mail and taking a lot of calls like that, too, is not exciting for the audience at large. I mean, it's not bad to hear a guy say every now and again, hey, Phil, I really like your show, but what I wanted to call about was this. But it's one of the reasons why we don't take calls during a lot of these hours where I'm just, you know, where we don't have a guest on. It's because I don't want to hear people. I like to hear it, but I don't want the audience to have to sit through a lot of people calling up and saying, you know, you're really funny. You know, I don't mind, like, for instance, people calling up and saying, there was an episode of your show, Phil, where you did this, 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 and that. Like, we read the mail, because sometimes I just pee myself listening to the descriptions, but... Anyway, here's one from somebody, Gloria. She's on the wall of female listeners, a.k.a. the Gunner's daughter on Sweet Feathery Jesus. Phil, you've exposed my bad parenting. I was explaining the infamous all-you-can-eat Negro to a friend on the phone. Little did I know that my 8-year-old was listening to my conversation. This Sunday at Mass, my sweet angel says during Eucharist, is this when they mac on Jesus?
Ha! Yeah! Bull crap, you really?
In horror, I replied, what did you just say? Luckily, the person in the next pew to me must have been a Phil fan, too, because they bust out laughing. Picture this, Palm Sunday, two people going to hell right in front of the front pew. Thank you so very deeply for sending me to the fifth ring. Hopefully, Monsignor has a sense of humor at next confession, which just happens to be my daughter's first Holy Communion. How am I ever going to be able to make it through Mass again? Keep up the genius over the airwaves and on Teachers. All my love, Gloria, a.k.a. the Gunner's daughter. That's heavy. Macking on Jesus. If you don't know what we're talking about, you got to go to the first CD. The famous All You Can Eat Negro is there. Here's a cat from Palm Harbor, Florida, Joe Brignoli. Hey, Phil, I just subscribed to your backstage pass. I wanted to take a second to inflate your ego a little. I've never emailed a radio host before, but felt you deserved a little brown nosing. In my opinion, your show's the best on radio. I started listening 2 years ago when one of your characters was claiming that the French put some sort of a beak. Oh, put a beacon in the Statue of Liberty, making the 9/11 planes find their mark. It took me all of 2 minutes to get it. I've been hooked ever since. I wanted to say thanks for coming up with such an original concept. It's a welcome change to my boring, sad life. One more thing. I started watching Teachers only because you're on there, and I'm surprised on how well you can act. The rest of the show? Eh. Joe Brignoli. Thanks, Joe. You freaking mafia Italian stinking, Here is one from Phil. He says, hey, Phil, I've been a big Bob and Ray fan for almost 50 years. I'm greatly amused by your talent, and I'm curious as to whether they influenced you at all. Who are your favorite radio personalities, especially those who have influenced your clever creativity? Bob and Ray were in New York. I grew up in Los Angeles. I never heard them until I saw them on TV before I ever heard their radio show. In fact, I don't think I've ever heard them. I've only seen Bob and Ray perform on TV, and they're very funny guys. I've heard their radio commercials. They used to do commercials for Bell Brand potato chips, if you remember the old Bell Brand commercial. And one of their commercials, which is, this is their humor, in one of the commercials, they're talking to a guy to say, now, would you taste this potato? We're going to take this potato chip, and we're going to put it in the tailpipe of this car. Now, go ahead and start the car. Guy starts the car, exhaust wafting over the potato chip, takes the potato chip out. He says, now, would you please eat that? The guy eats it, and they go, what did it taste like? He goes, it tastes like crap. All right, now try a Bell Brand potato chip. And the guy says, aren't you going to put that in the tailpipe? Well, no, let's just have a Bell Brand potato chip. See, to me, that's beautiful stuff. And the biggest radio personality influence I have is Emperor Hudson, whose name should be known far and wide. And it was in the early 60s that I started listening to Emperor Bob Hudson on KRLA Radio in Los Angeles. He was brilliant. He used to talk about being in a leopard skin room, and he used to talk about who I later found out was the receptionist named Rosie. She was like this chick that would feed him grapes, and he'd say, let's rub ourselves together and make fire. You know, a lot of kind of stuff like that. But he had this way of describing this leopard skin room that he was in, that I thought that this was a guy that lived in a leopard skin room. And he was hysterical, too. And I rode my bike to the radio station, and I just saw a guy in bedroom slippers and a sweatshirt playing records. And rather than be disappointed, I thought, this is amazing that guy had me believing that he was actually this guy and he's in this thing. So, and I just think Emperor Bob Hudson should be, people should mention his name because he was brilliant, man. And here's one, Phil from, it's this actually from Thomas Owen. It says, Phil, thanks for the great radio. I've been watching your TV show, Teachers, I Agree, although I would also like to, I agree about your comments concerning the laugh track. I'd also like to say I've been watching Cheers lately and paying attention to what makes that show work. My first thought was that they didn't have a laugh track, but they do. And then it hit me. The actors on Cheers never tell jokes. Sometimes their characters do, but the actors never do. They're working the funny lines with the same attention to craft. Oh, I see what you're saying, Thomas. In other words, we have no craft on our show. Thank you. I understand, sir. You don't deliver the funny line like it's a funny line. I get it. Well, you know what? Sometimes you do. Sometimes it's just a big, broad, dumb show. We'll see. I'll give you this much, though. Critics don't know diddly squat. And we'll just see what happens tomorrow night. But I have said, and I'll say this again about Teachers, and I know nobody asked me, but you know what? Hey, I'm going to give the opinion. When it comes to television shows, more and more, as we enter the 21st century, as we enter the millennium, as we enter the new age, the new world, more and more the audiences are far more sophisticated, and you can't play them. You can't sit there and drop the odd lesbian joke or the odd race joke and think that you have fulfilled your requirement for being edgy. That's not what it is. Edgy is organic, and it comes from a real place. And if you're scared of it, you can't be it. If you're worried about whether the network's going to let you do this joke, but you realize that Fox is doing all this edgy stuff, so let's start getting edgy, even though we're afraid NBC won't let us. You lost that race before you got into your jockstrap. You're done. I had this idea for Teachers. Here it is. You ready? My character, Dick Green. Hey, Matt, if you're listening, any of you guys from the show, how's this? This is what I'm talking about. Starts out, Dick says, hey, Emma, come here. Emma Wiggins, the principal. She goes, yes? Watch this. I have the kids rise. Okay, kids, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, kids, sit down. What do you think, Emma? And she says, I don't get it. What? He says, I left out the word God. So the atheists don't have a cow. All right. And she says, I told you the court rulings say that we can't say the Pledge of Allegiance. If we do, it has to have God in it. And I look at her and I say, you're beginning to wilt my permanent. She goes, she looks, she does a take on my bald head. She goes, that's very funny. By the way, we've been doing some work on the ceiling and there's a little dust in the air. Here's a towel. Why don't you dust off your head? And then she leaves. Now, I know it needs work, but the point I'm trying to make here is I just threw in a very topical issue concerning the Pledge of Allegiance, got in the God thing, too, then a couple of laughs about my bald head, and she's gone, man. Get some stuff going on that show, or any show, for that matter, that has something to do with the world we live in, as opposed to pandering to the what you think the audience wants, which is, oh, well, we better get a lesbian joke in. Let's get in another race joke. Have we got any fag jokes? We don't have one of those. And jerk-off jokes? Yeah, come on, man. I couldn't do it. I mean, I couldn't produce a show. And in point of fact, I haven't successfully. All right, I'm all done with that. I'll never talk about it again except tomorrow night. 1-800-449-8686.
Boy, you suck.
Thanks, bud. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Get a load of this one. Here's a guy who says, hey, Phil, I remember a while back you were talking about cruising down PCH and that out of nowhere a Ferrari came hauling ass by you going 100 miles an hour. Is that the same guy who just wrecked that Ferrari in Malibu and got busted with Ted's McLaren SLR? Seemed to fit his MO. Just wrecked it? This is Monday, April 10th, man. That happened 2 months ago. And I never said I was on the road when that guy came down the road. I just said that you can't be on the road when going that fast, you knucklehead. I was just thinking of that guy today, the guy that was going down PCH 100 miles an hour in this. What kind of Ferrari was it, Wayne? It was a Ferrari. I don't know. Why am I asking you, Wayne? What? Enzo. Anyway, it's a car that, oh, my God. Oh, my God, to treat an automobile like that. I don't know anything about it. You don't? Huh? You don't know the Ferrari? No, I'm afraid I've never owned one. Yes, I guess you wouldn't have, would you? Well, let me just say that the Ferrari Enzo is the quintessential piece. Can I ask you a question while you're talking?
Yes.
What's the big deal anyway, man? I mean, you can only go so fast. You know what I'm saying?
No. When it comes to handling...
Look, I understand that you have to have a car to get from point A to point B, and I understand you want it to be comfortable. I also understand, to a point, that the automobile is an expression of an individual's self. I mean, it's the reason why hybrids don't sell, because hybrids don't look good. Hybrids don't look good. Hybrids look like jackball cars. They should call it the new Honda Jackass. Hybrids look dorky. That's why they don't sell. Make a hybrid that looks like a Ferrari, or, you know, a guy's going to go out and buy one of those dopey-looking, those goofy-looking little Honda sports cars, whatever, far, far and away more than he's going to go buy himself a hybrid. Why? Because the thing looks cool. But for some reason, Detroit, and I'm beginning to believe the conspiracy theories now. I really am. For the longest time, I gave you guys your due. I just thought you were dumb. I just thought you were stupid back there in Detroit, but I realize now that's not the case. You guys, has got to be a conspiracy going on. Nobody can be that stupid. No one can be that dumb not to concentrate on an area of the business that in the future is going to be the future of the business. And even if you're not concentrating 100% on it, to design a hybrid, I know it's a Japanese car, but let's, you know, as long as they're selling 25, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 of a year in California, I mean, there's a little bit of a market, to design a hybrid that looks like something your grandma drive, when you could be maybe designing one that looks, you know, kind of cool, maybe looks like the Starship Enterprise, maybe throw in a little monkey suit with it, something that looks fast, even though it ain't, to not do it, to not take advantage of that, blows my freaking mind. Now, we're going to take a break, and I'd like to come back and talk about this, or look at the nude Kylie Minogue photos I've just found on the internet. Which is it going to be? We'll find out on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
I don't know. You want me to go get tickets for the Packers? I know that the Packers are playing the Jets on the 3rd of December in Green Bay. And because our good buddy Jeff Jagosinski is now the O-coordinator for the Green Bay Pack-a-Rack, then we're going to go back there, drink a couple of brews, have a couple of them hogs or whatever they eat back there, one of them big, thick, fat-ridden ribeye steaks they have back there in Green Bay, go back, drink till we die, fall face first in the street. I don't know, man. But I'm not going to go back there with you in your Jets hat, dude. Mark Newman's he wants us to go back, me and Wayne. I can't, I'm going to walk up the steps of Curly's Pub while you're wearing your jet gear, dude. I'm going to die in the crossfire. Nah, Packer fans are actually human beings. They're very sweet and tender and gentle. If they didn't rip the Bear fans, I was there. The worst I saw the Packer fans do is just scream out, the Bears still suck. The Bears still. And they did. They did still suck. So they're not lying. All right. There's our sports wrap up. We're going back December 3rd, and if we don't return alive, you can blame Newman wearing his freaking gay... Now, I love the Jets. I love the Jets. Don't get me wrong. But it, on that day, it'll be gay.
Phil Hendry's show is produced by Mark Newman, associate producers Michelle Hernandez and Wayne Roberts. The Phil Hendry Show is written by Phil Hendry, Doug Jones, and Mark Newman, and sometimes Wayne Roberts. This is R.C. Collins. Drop down and kiss it.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.